Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Are you good at telling stories? You may have a bright future in the corporate world. Well, great to have everybody here today for day two of Tell Your Tale to get others energized. I was thinking of a story, Naomi, at the top of this program, but I thought I'm going to wait a little bit on that. So because that's what we're talking about, how to be a good storyteller, right?
It is, Bill. And we're talking about telling your tale, telling stories. The thing is, when we hear those phrases, sometimes we think of people telling lies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sometimes when we hear people talking about, oh, you're telling tales, or, oh, he just loves to tell stories, we sometimes get the sense that people are being a little dishonest.
Yeah.
And so that is not what we mean here. We are not saying that by being dishonest, you can get further ahead in the business world. Our focus is very different.
Yeah, we're talking about this book, Lead with a Story, by Paul Smith. He's an executive with Procter & Gamble, and he's talking about how being able to tell stories can actually enrich your presentations and let you connect with the audience better. So, and we talked about some of this yesterday. And Naomi, let me just get a thought from you as far as yesterday.
Well, what I really liked is that this guy is leading by example. At the beginning of this article, we actually get an anecdote, a story about his experience with storytelling. So he's actually using his own experience to prove his point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a great example that he gave yesterday. So the CEO was there at an executive member meeting, an executive board as far as at their company. This is a high-pressure situation. So, and it's a great story that Paul Smith used to illustrate his point.
Right. Basically, he was saying, you know, he wanted to be prepared really well, so he prepared slides,
mm-hmm.
you know, a really good PowerPoint. Well, the CEO didn't even look at the slides, so he really had to rely on his words and his storytelling.
Yeah. In our reading, we said that the CEO, Laffley, Alan Laffley, who's known as A.G. Laffley and also is a well-known author himself, has written many books. Well, the CEO sat down right underneath the screen, his back to the screen. He wouldn't be able to see the slides. I think he did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. These guys don't do anything by accident. I think the guy, the CEO, sat there on purpose. So, well, Catherine Huff is also here today. Hi, Catherine.
Hello, Bill.
Yeah. And I know we talked a little bit yesterday about some of your experiences speaking and also being in the audience. So what did you pick up from yesterday?
Well, I think it was interesting how they mentioned that right now we're in an age where it's all about graphics and fancy and flashy pictures when you're giving presentations. But what Paul Smith is telling us is that he's saying storytelling is important. It's all about simplicity, and that's what is going to grab your listeners more than a fancy presentation. I liked that.
Yeah. We've probably gone to the opposite end of the spectrum. We used to have presentations where there were no graphics shown, or if there were, they were very poor. Now we've gone to the opposite end of the spectrum, which means we've gone to the other extreme to now where we've got way too much. There's, you know, people get up and they've got these PowerPoint presentations mm-hmm. and they've got 63 different slides on their PowerPoint presentations, and we got statistics coming out of our ears and it loses it. You just lose people, you lose the point. And instead what we need to do is be concise and get rid of a lot of the technology and just start telling these stories.
Right. I always tell my students, you know, just don't let your PowerPoint outshine you. Mm-hmm. Your story should be the thing that people remember, that they pay attention to. If your PowerPoint is so crazy and fancy and flashy, the word that we used yesterday, that people totally focus on that instead of on you, then you're losing them. Why are you even there? They can just mm-hmm. watch the PowerPoint.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, my favorite point from yesterday was in line 15 on the left column, best of his allotted 20 minutes. And I just could highlight that in red, orange, pink, and green, 20 minutes, because there's a couple things behind it. Studies have shown human beings have an attention span of 20 minutes, and then they start thinking about other things. Your audience is starting to think about what they had for breakfast, what they're doing tonight, where they're going to be watching the ball game.
I heard the attention span is much shorter than 20 minutes, Bill.
Maybe.
I think it is.
These are highly capable individuals, 20 minutes. But not only that, the attention span, but it's very important to have a time limit, have the speaker understand a time limit. And very few organizations actually clarify that with the speaker before the presentation, a specific time limit. And I would recommend to all organizations, make sure the speaker understands the time limit. Because if not, I'll tell you what, people will just ramble and ramble, and it's going to end up being a big waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to have a time limit. Be concise, make your point, and get out of there. All right, let's do this. Let's get into our reading. So turn to page 25, and it will be the first section there. It's going to be that left column, a manual on leadership.
A manual on leadership. Lead with a story offers leaders more than 100 stories that they can borrow or adapt to fit different situations. However, Smith's book is not just a depository of stories. Far from it. In fact, Lead with a Story is not a book on storytelling, but first and foremost, a book on leadership. There are some chapters on how to tell a story, for example, how to use metaphors and analogies, and how to recast your audience into a story, but these are the exceptions. And indeed, these 7 chapters are specifically labeled how-to. The core of the book is a manual on leadership built around 5 E's. Envision success. Create an environment for winning. Energize the team. Educate people. And empower others. In the section on envisioning success, for example, are chapters on setting a vision for the future, setting goals and building commitment, leading change, making recommendations stick, and defining customer service success and failure. Smith explains in detail how to use stories to achieve each of these steps. These lessons are summarized at the end of each chapter in a summary and exercises section.
Okay, we're talking about the book Lead with a Story, written by Paul Smith. Not only does it have good ideas, Naomi, but what else does it offer?
100 stories that you can use. So we call this a manual on leadership. When we talk about a manual, usually it's a book that would come along with something that you buy, like a television or a microwave. And if you're not sure how to use it, you can check the manual.
Yeah.
But here, a manual for leadership sounds very useful. And particularly useful is this idea that, you know, here's this selection, here's 100 stories, and you can just use them, adapt them, change them a little bit to fit these different situations that you might need them for.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you may not give these stories exactly the way they are written in the book, but I think what they will do is trigger ideas. It will make people think, oh, yeah, I had something like that happen.
Right.
5 years ago.
Yeah. So illustrations where you go, okay, if you're trying to make a point about teamwork, maybe consider this story as a good example of why it's important.
Yeah. All right. So it's got all these stories in there to help people. They can borrow or adapt them. However,
Smith's book is not just a depository of stories. It's not just a place where you can find stories. It says it is not a book on storytelling, but first and foremost, a book on leadership.
First and foremost, I had underlined that. Sometimes we use that. It's like a figure of speech, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of to emphasize that this is the most important thing.
Mm, okay. And
we also saw that little phrase, far from it. It's not just this depository, sort of a big collection of stories. It's far from just that. Because when I heard this, I thought, oh, so all this book is just a list of stories to use? I mean, that's fine, but I can probably find that on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
you know, but
good
they say,
business
no, no.
Stories. Yeah.
Yeah. Far from that. It's very, very, very different from what you're thinking. No, it is actually a book on leadership.
Yeah. All right. And because he wants to help people become leaders and stay leaders in their position. So now we find out, how does it address this topic of leadership?
Well, we're not quite there yet. First, we have to talk about how to tell a story. So there are how-to chapters that tell us, well, how do you actually use these stories? Instead of just reading them out of the book, that won't work well at all. How do you tell them?
Okay. First off is metaphors.
Right. And a metaphor is when you say that something is something else. For example, sometimes we say that babies might be like a doll. They are so cute that they resemble a doll.
Right. You say, oh, what a doll. You don't actually mean that the baby is a doll. You mean it's really sweet and it's got big eyes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's a metaphor. And then analogies, of course, stories that we use to explain something. Mm-hmm. So you can say, well, it's sort of like when we do this.
Yeah, a similar example to help understand the story. So then we also see, so there's chapters on the metaphors and analogies, and then also how to recast your audience into a story.
Yeah, this is so interesting. And I love it when speakers do this. They don't just let you sit there passively. They make you an active part of what they're presenting. They say, okay, everyone, we're on a boat right now. Imagine that it starts to rain. How do you feel? You know, like they're really involving you in the story. Suddenly you can imagine yourself inside this anecdote instead of just thinking, oh, that happened to somebody else.
Yeah. All right. Put the person in the story so they can get a better feel for the situation you are describing. Recast them like a Hollywood movie director would do that, casting actors. Now, these chapters talk about telling stories, but these are the exceptions we see in line 31. And we also see that these indeed, these chapters, what?
They are specifically labeled as how-to. So like Naomi said earlier, this is the manual part of the book. It's giving the readers instructions, but that's not the whole part of the book.
That's the manual part.
Mm-hmm.
What about the core?
Well, the core is another manual on leadership built around the five E's.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The first part was a manual on how-to. Now we're seeing the manual on leadership, and he has labeled them five E's.
Right. The first E is envision success. So if you envision something, you're imagining it. You are putting yourself in this situation where you can see yourself being successful.
Okay. This is a very typical trick, right, by writers, yes, to list things, the five this, the eight that, and then also have them all start with like either the same word or the same letter, right?
Right. Alliteration.
Yeah. All right. So first one, envision success. Next one.
Create an environment for winning. So I think that that is all about making the place that you work somewhere where people want to be there, someplace that people work together well, where communication is important, anything that just opens everything up.
And this could be on a more individual scale, too. If I don't create an environment for myself to win, then I won't win, you know? So, for example, they might involve something like organization. Mm-hmm. You might say, you know, if you don't get your stuff really well scheduled and really well filed, and if you don't know where everything is, you're setting yourself up to lose instead of win. You need to create that situation that allows you to be successful.
I think also with this, you know, as far as this winning part is also having people understand why winning is important. What are we doing for? You can't just stand there, yell, Jayo, Jayo, Jayo. Well, what? Okay, that lasts for about 30 seconds.
Mm.
If people don't really understand, okay, well, why are we trying to win? And that also, you know, part of the why is energizing the team.
Well, right. I mean, if any company wants to accomplish something, they have to have employees who are passionate about what they're doing and who want to win, want to succeed.
Yeah. Not only energize, but
educate. Number four is educate people. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is extremely important. People can only do as much as they learn how to do. So
yeah.
I think the best businesses are the ones that encourage their employees to keep learning and keep training and retraining and learning new things.
Okay. So that energize is the jayo, jayo, jayo. The educate is here's why, here's why, here's why. And then we've also got empower others.
Yeah, this one's actually my favorite, I think, because it's about giving the employees confidence, and that actually gives them the power or the strength to take action which is really important.
Yeah.
And also making sure that they have an opportunity to try something new. You know, some companies say, oh, yeah, try to be creative, but then you give people an idea and there's no avenue, there's no method for trying some new idea. And so to create an environment where you're saying, yes, you can try this, yes, you can give us these suggestions or try this new method, then that's moving things forward.
Okay. And then as we continue in line 36 and 37, we see more detail in one of these sections, the section envisioning success.
Right. It says that those are chapters on setting a vision for the future and just setting goals and leading change. So it's all about here's where we are now, but maybe here's where we can go as a company.
Okay. All right. You know, as far as leading change, but also getting things to stick, right?
Right. This is a long list, and it's worth kind of breaking them down and trying to look through them on your own and imagine different examples. Leading change, of course, I think of Gandhi saying, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. You have to actually do it yourself for it to happen. Mm-hmm. Making recommendations stick, again, it goes back to that example that we had on day one where he was trying to give this presentation. But he wanted that recommendation to stick, to connect, to stay with the executive committee.
Yeah. I also think of like recommendations. A lot of companies have great ideas and we're going to make this change. And then 3 months later, they're just back doing it the same old way. So we got to find out how do we make these recommendations and changes stick. And then we move over to customer service, defining customer service success and failure.
Very important. And this could be as simple as sales, right? Saying, okay, well, if our sales are up, they're successful. If our sales are down, they're not. But that's not really fair, actually, because customer service goes beyond just the numbers of sales. And so trying to create a system where you can evaluate, is the customer service doing what it's supposed to do? Is it working well? Is it functioning? That's very important.
Okay. And then we see that Paul Smith brings together these details with stories.
Right. He explains, how to use stories to achieve this. And he says that the lessons are summarized at the end of every chapter, where he brings together everything and simplifies it in a way that you can use it at your company.
Okay. All right. So we're going to have this list of things to accomplish. Then also, how do we connect this with stories to get the point across?
It sounds so practical. I'm really excited about this book.
Yeah, it does sound like a very practical guide for leaders at all levels to use. Well, we have a very special feature today, so we're going to put it in right now.
Good morning, everyone. I have allotted only 20 minutes for today's meeting to discuss budget objectives for this upcoming month. If you will turn your attention to my presentation, you will
another slow meeting. I don't think I could sit through another one of these without falling asleep. I know. The only exciting thing about this meeting is Brian's flashy jacket.
Speaking of flashy jackets, let's go shopping this weekend.
I have some concerns about the budget. Looking at the recent numbers, Plan A is not working, so we will need to develop Plan B. Does anyone have any ideas? Anyone?
I can't believe this meeting is still going.
What do you mean? I love talking about money.
What this business needs is to take risks. I was in South Africa last summer scuba diving with great white sharks. I had an epiphany about taking risks in order to succeed.
Ooh, I have always wanted to go to Africa. Who knew Brian could have a good time?
I never thought he would be one for adventure. Scuba diving? I never even knew he could swim. Speaking of taking risk, I have an idea I thought was too risky until you talked about your anecdote.
Why, thank you, Brenda. I'm glad you enjoyed my story. Now on to other matters.
Well, at least we know Brian is secretly exciting.
Yeah, what else don't we know about him? Maybe he's secretly a salsa dancer.
I think the audience was lost. The speaker lost the audience there.
But glad he got them back with that story about the scuba diving.
Yeah, that's true.
And I do think it's interesting about how they said, oh, what else don't we know about him? They kind of want to tune in and hear what's next. And I think that's another advantage of using anecdotes.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great example of, you know, people. We've all been in meetings and somebody's talking and then we're talking to the person next to us. And, you know, so it is very important that we do tell stories, make things interesting that make sure people are still paying attention. All right, well, let's do this. Let's have our final reading for today.
Take an imaginary journey. One of the lessons in the chapter on leading change, for example, is that people aren't afraid of change. They're afraid of not being prepared for change. Smith illustrates this point with a story of a 6-year-old boy who was terrified about the fact that the location his school bus would be waiting for him after school would be changing. The night before the big change, the father notices that his worried son can't sleep. The father gets the boy up, dresses him in his school clothes, and then, writes Smith, they went on an imaginary journey. Pretending he was in school and not at home, the little boy practiced several times, turning right, turning left, going straight, until the boy felt comfortable with the path he was to take. The boy even practiced how he would ask a classmate if he could follow him to the school bus. This was Plan B. When preparing others for change, Smith encourages readers to tell the story of the boy and the bus stop so people can take comfort that their trepidation is only because they aren't prepared yet. After the training, and reinforced by this story, employees know they will be.
Bill Quinn here with Naomi Bees Hable and Catherine Hoff. We're on our final section of Tell Your Tale to Get Others Energized. And this section is Take an Imaginary Journey.
I'm feeling pretty energized by what I'm learning about this book. It sounds exciting. It sounds like it's got some great advice on leadership. And I love the practical examples that it's offering. And we start this section of the reading with one of the lessons in the chapter on leading change.
Okay. And it's very interesting here because it says that people aren't necessarily afraid of change, but
they're afraid of not being prepared for change. I love that sentence, actually.
Yeah. All right. You know, people, you know, it's kind of funny. People say, I love change, but really do they love change? Or they have funny reactions to it, right?
Yeah. I think a lot of people are hesitant to change because it's scary, because they don't know what may actually happen when situations change.
Yeah. But I think they do make a good distinction here. They tell the difference between being afraid of change and being afraid of not really being ready for something unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And so people get excited about this, like, you know, let's say moving to a new place. They're excited to move. They want to get there. They're excited to try their new life. What they're afraid of is the unknown, the little factors that might be difficult, that might affect them in a hard way, where they get nervous.
Yeah. Now, to help everybody understand this, the writer of the book, Paul Smith, illustrates this with a story.
Right. He tells the readers about a 6-year-old boy who is terrified that the location of his school bus would be changing. So he had to, I guess, wait for the bus in a new place.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, for us, it seems kind of silly, but if you're a 6-year-old, this is scary.
Oh, I remember being a 6-year-old, and some of the things that scared me then, now I don't even think twice about them. But at the time, oh my goodness, they terrified me. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of having to go to a new spot to wait for the school bus, when you're 6, you don't understand directions, you can't see very far, you know, you understand so little about the world. This could be very intimidating.
Well, fortunately, it sounds like he has a pretty good understanding father, right?
Right. The night before, his father noticed that his worried son couldn't sleep. So he got the boy up and dressed him, and they went on an imaginary journey.
All right. Okay, so I can picture them. You know, here it is late at night. They're getting dressed, and they're not going to go to the school, are they?
No, but they pretend that they're at the school and not at home. And then the little boy practiced several times, turning right, turning left, going straight, until he felt comfortable with that path. So he could sort of practice it and visualize it in his head. Okay, when I get here, I'll turn. And then when I get there, I'll turn again. And then I keep going until I see the stop sign. You know, he could imagine it.
Yeah. So the father did a good job, sounds like, of painting this imaginary picture. Here you are. You're at school. You just had your final class. Now where do we go? Out into the hallway. And, you know, so he's helping the son, you know, visualize walking through these steps. And not only helping him walk through the steps, but also practice something.
Right. He practiced how he would ask a classmate if he could follow him to the school bus or a plan B or a plan so that if the original doesn't work, he knows what to do if something happens.
Sure, because a lot of times people get confused, especially young children, they get confused. They just kind of lock up. They just stop communicating.
Well, yeah, and so they need a backup plan. But to be honest, children aren't the only people who do this.
Adults, lock up.
Yeah. You know, when things don't go the way that you expected them to, sometimes you have to kind of, oh, what do I do? And it's good to have a plan of action to prepare for those moments.
Mm-hmm. Plan B. So we always say, well, I got to go to plan B. It was the backup plan. So now we see here, when preparing others for change, Smith encourages readers to do what?
Well, he says you can tell this story to your employees. Tell the story of the boy in the bus stop. And that way people can take comfort. And when we take comfort from something, it means something makes us feel better about our situation.
Comfort in this example about what?
That their trepidation is only because they aren't prepared for change. And trepidation is just worry or anxiety about something that could happen or may happen.
Okay. Human beings of all ages have trepidation about the unknown moving outside their comfort zone. So, you know, if you have trepidation, don't worry. We all face it.
Yeah, I think of travel plans. You know, you always have a little trepidation because you're not sure what to expect when you go somewhere new. But the more you do your research and come up with a plan and a schedule and so on, then you feel more confident about going and enjoying your vacation. Well, the same thing is true in the workplace.
Well, Paul Smith is trying to prepare people to be ready for anything. And then after the training and reinforced by this great story, the employees know that they will be. So that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, listeners, I hope you learned something here about maybe how to improve your presentations just by telling some stories, and it'll get you closer with your audience and make it more effective. Thanks for joining us. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Naomi.
Catherine.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.